Welcome. This is our second podcast. Again, Chip Snyders, Dylan Katz. We have a special guest, Will. Say hi, Will.
Hi, Will.
Okay. Will has sausage in his mouth, and I don't mean that euphemistically. I mean he's actually eating some bratwurst that Dylan has cooked up.
I'm eating Dylan's bratwurst.
Yes, indeed.
Damn, it tastes good.
So, yeah, Dylan, why don't you tell us about the beers you brought over?
All right. So, we have four beers. I was thinking about doing a vertical tasting today, which means all of the same type. Mm. But we sort of have a straggler. So we're going to do three IPAs and then a seasonal spice beer. Mm. We have the first IPA we have is the Kennebunkport IPA. It's brewed in Portland.
Ooh.
I've never had it. But yeah, Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine. Not Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon isn't the highest concentration of craft breweries or microbreweries.
I don't know about that. I mean, I know Rogue, which is...
Well, Rogue is delicious.
Yeah, Rogue is a great brewery.
It's a chocolate stout. So I like stouts. You'll hear me sing their praises every day.
Yeah, stouts are one thing we've absent today. Hmm. But yeah, so we have Kennebunkport, and then we have Founder's Harvest, which is a wet-hopped ale. I don't think it's really classified as an IPA, but it's hoppy enough to be one. So there's that. They're from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
Notice how I put the state in that time.
I like
that.
Very well. Unless it was Grand Rapids, Wyoming.
Yeah. Oh, man, no. We don't want any Wyoming beer. You get some Dick Cheney all over that.
All right, well, let's
old man.
Well, maybe his lawyer. So why don't we talk about just the IPA style. Dylan, you're very familiar. I said it last time, Dylan's a hophead, which means obsessed with hops. It's a great, delicious addition to beer that kind of makes it a little more bitter, changes up the flavor a bit. So Dylan, explain to us the IPA.
Well, let's start with, the hop in general. If you've ever sucked on one, it is...
I'll have a... Continue.
Yeah, so it's a really bitter flavor. It's sort of like a combination of floral, grassiness, pininess.
Yeah.
Like a pine tree, that smell, and then
it's a good things.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, if you don't like bitter beers, I mean, you're probably going to hate the IPA, which is the IPA was I'll do the history. So IPA stands for India Pale Ale. First started in Britain, and when they would travel to India, because they'd have to go all the way around Africa, they would add hops to preserve the beer. Hence, the India Pale Ale, because they were traveling to India.
And also the East India Company, right? They ferried a lot of those over. They're... okay.
I have no idea.
Well,
I wish
I actually know
I did.
This historical tidbit. The East India Company... had major contracts with shipping these IPAs over to India, and so they were big carriers. I obviously didn't get the name from East India Company, but the IPA is was basically for India. There's also a Belgian version of the Pale Ale, right?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. I think the classic style is the British, though. Around 1700s, I believe. When was...
Probably.
Okay.
I can't... I wish I could give you a date estimate.
Right, this is all speculation.
I can say this, though. When the IPA came to America, when probably the 1980s, for clarification, we just sort of ran off with it. So if you compare a British IPA with an American one, British IPA is just going to be really mild. You're not going to get a ton of the hop flavor. It's bitter. It's not too bitter. So it's a lot smoother. Come to America...
It's like we do with everything from Britain. We just make it better. Like Democracy, for example. So why don't we get to tasting? I think that, Dylan, you could kind of lead us through, being the know-it-all.
Sure.
Self-proclaimed.
Sure. We actually have three glasses today instead of having to drink out of one.
Yeah. That was fun sharing some germs.
We're going to go for... That's a bit too much head.
Oh, but look at that color.
That's better, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's
a great, great amber. Just like a Jurassic Park when he holds up the mosquito, that's kind of the color we're looking at right now.
Absolutely.
Clever girl.
Nice creamy head, too.
Yeah, that's good. It's about, what do you say, Don? Thumb to half thumb? Three quarters of a thumb, we'll say. Yours is big, though.
I just kind of poured it directly in the bottom. I will say this. This is just... I mean, I can't really tell by the shape of the glass, but this is just... Man, this is just... really clear. No doubt about it, this is a filtered beer.
Oh, great. And it's good to have hoppiness because if you're used to drinking crappy college beers, Coors and all that stuff, you're not going to get any hops because America doesn't like hops very much. And I feel like hops and adjuncts characterize the American
style. This is actually a great time to go off on my tangent about the triple hops icon that Miller is the science, but I will say one thing. I kind of find it offensive because I don't think there's a brewer in this country who doesn't triple hop their beer. When they say triple hops, hops get added three times in the brewing process. They get added at the beginning, mm-hmm. where they boil for a certain amount of time. They get added in the middle, they boil more. Then at the end, those...
The
finishing hops are for the aroma.
Mm-hmm. Those aren't boiled. They're put in the whirlpool or the fermenting tanks, right?
I think the last time I did it, I probably put them in for 5 minutes.
Okay.
So it's right at the very end.
You don't get all those resins that come out.
Just to give it a little
bit of an
edge. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, then a lot of people, including myself, sometimes take it overboard where you let it ferment a week and then you have to transfer it into another vessel. A lot of us put hops in that second vessel, and that's what... That'll just make it insane.
Those are for real addicts, but, like Dylan.
Yes, it's true. But the difference.
Speaking of addiction here, I've heard that the hop plant is related to the cannabis plant. Is that true?
I don't know. We'll have to get some hops and smoke them and see what happens.
I don't think it has the same sort of psychoactive effects that cannabis does.
Well,
but
I've
heard that the plants are.
Have you seen this guy after some hops? My gosh.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's literally hopped up.
Yeah, I've heard that the plants are from the same.
Judging by how they look, it's definitely possible.
Yeah, huh,
it's
okay.
probably it definitely makes sense to me.
Not that you would know what cannabis looks like, of course.
No, I've never seen it.
And this is beyond the scope of this vlog. I'll leave you to Google that.
Moderating here.
I'll bring us back to the beer. If we can get away from psychotropic substances.
I really like the way that the hop taste sort of sits on the palate in this beer. It's you get the same sort of
taste it yet.
Sort of charcoal-y.
It doesn't, it's not, sorry, quick note before we go into that.
Sure.
We should do a sequence. We should establish a sequence.
Exactly.
So, BJCP, which is the Beer Judge Certification Program, some education. They do the orders. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So the order is appearance, aroma, mm-hmm. how it smells, mouthfeel, how it tastes, mm-hmm. Flavor, and then overall impressions.
Gotcha.
Mouthfeel.
I don't think there's much aromatics here. I don't feel any coming off the beer, really.
I actually kind of get a metallic aroma.
Me too. Yep,
which
absolutely.
It's something you usually don't want to smell in a beer. But that's what I'm getting.
That's a little X mark. But it's still, it doesn't have a very potent bouquet. If you swirl around a little bit, a little sniff it, you get that metallic scent. Not much else going on aromatically.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't. And this is almost like... I feel like I've smelled this before, not in beer.
Huh.
Oh, we've got some jazzy music.
I think part of it is that these...
Hey, Dylan Katz.
Oh, I guess I just called you from my pocket. I did. Well, look at that.
Wow, look, our first caller with a blog. Dylan, what
he's not even live.
Your butt called me. Gosh, talk about a booty call.
I'm actually
in the middle of my podcast.
I'm actually smelling a lot of the glass when I stick my nose.
You're right, that actually could be the metallic taste.
That actually could be it.
It could be the hard water of Wisconsin.
See, that's the thing. It's probably the minerals from washing a glass in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there you go. Get the plastic ones.
I'll just pour some in. We'll see if we can get a
but
difference.
I think you're still picking up some of the... Okay. I'm saying it might leach into that.
Actually, I'm gonna...
I think it's safe to say, I think it lends credence to the fact that there's not much... there's not much coming off of it. Is it still metallic?
You're still getting the same...
It's not. Actually, now I'm getting just a lot of caramel.
Oh. Wow. That's night and day.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, we're gonna switch to plastic.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I should have brought I have a set of these Rogue tasting glasses, and they're small.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of fruit. I'm getting like almost a sort of raspberry type.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I got
nothing like a frambois, but like definitely you would describe it in wine as berries, sort of.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
And I feel caramel, and I smell alcohol.
Yeah.
I think you can definitely smell the alcohol in this beer. But
But I think this is great. This is a great experiment that shows that the type of glass you serve it in, how that glass has been manipulated or touched or washed, really determines the taste and smell of a beer. So it's
certainly, yeah, that's why you drink barley wines from snifters, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why you
even the pub glass, I almost feel like with this glass it's kind of a weird design.
I'll
move back from the microphone. It is kind of a weird design. I mean, the glass is thicker too, mm-hmm. especially at the bottom.
It's just absolutely that 20 ounce imperial pint glass is beautiful. It's a proven to work.
Oh yeah. Man,
imperial pint,
which I actually think is the British pint.
Yeah,
is the 20 ounce one.
Yep, exactly.
Stone. If you ever go to Stone's Brewery, they insist.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe not.
As they should.
I don't know.
We tried Stone last night, in fact.
It was good. Very interesting. Smoked beers are always
great.
Very interesting.
Let's get back to this beer.
I think
we should continue the rating. So once again, so we determined the smell, a little caramelly, once we transferred it to a plastic cup that didn't have the same smell and minerals in the middle of it.
I guess now that we're on mouthfeel and flavor, it's got an exceedingly light mouthfeel for me. It feels kind of effervescent in my mouth, but there's also, I think part of it is that this flavor sits very lightly on the palate for me.
I'm getting very little carbonation too,
mm-hmm. right?
Which is not that probably is kind of typical of an IPA, but
yeah.
This is, for me at least, sort of going between mouthfeel and flavor. This just does not taste like an IPA. I don't get that much bitterness either.
I was about to say, there's no bite to it.
And there's no hop. Mm-hmm. Hop flavor at all, I feel.
I don't know, I'm getting a solid mouthful of bitter and of charcoal. You know?
Charcoal?
Yeah, I'm getting charcoal in a big way.
I don't know if it might be that
sort of caramelized,
yeah.
like that caramelized, but with enough of the bitter edge, mm-hmm. And the acidic edge from the hops that you're, I think that's what's giving me charcoal.
Yeah, kind of. This is kind of a weird beer. it's just, I don't know what to think.
It is really not the paragon of its genre. I feel like it's nothing like a real IPA. So it's
good that we started with it though, because
it's not gonna
overpower.
I thought I'd maybe try to ramp it up.
That makes sense. I wonder. So this is from Maine, right, Dylan? Yeah.
How's it finish, guys? Wait, real quick.
All right,
finish. I mean, as you're drinking it,
it's not easy going on the finish for sure. Mm-hmm. It's not.
I think it ramps off very quickly. It doesn't sit at all.
Maybe this will sound crazy. I kind of get this bizarre aftertaste of cardboard. Like at the end, I don't.
Okay, I can't corroborate that, but I will.
I mean, I do chew on cardboard pretty frequently. But
every morning, it's my Sunday morning breakfast. Oh, nice. Sunday's tomorrow, so yeah.
Every morning.
I'm taking it tomorrow.
sorry, it's a Jew joke. Dylan is Jewish. It's funny.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. No. I hear you there. So this is from Maine, I'm very familiar with sort of the Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont area of beers. Can you talk a little bit about whether beer is similar between regions, like whether regional variations have developed in the United States? Because I mean, regional variations can make a very large difference when you're talking about England or Ireland.
Yeah.
Or even like areas of Germany, for example. You know, your Bavarian beer is going to be very different from some of your other German beers.
Right.
Has that happened in the U.S.? Can you tell regional variations?
I would actually, honestly, probably not.
Okay.
But, I mean, what's cool, in New England area, some great breweries. You have Allagash, which is in Maine. I don't think they're in Portland, but they make some great stuff. And then you have New Hampshire's Smutty Nose.
Smutty Nose, Harpoon.
Oh, yeah. Harpoon is in Massachusetts. Magic Hat.
Yeah, it's local.
Okay. Talk to the mic, guys. I'm doing some gesticulation back here.
Harpoon's back? I thought Harpoon was... I thought Harpoon was Portsmouth.
Oh, it could be.
I think it's Portsmouth.
One of the really interesting... Harpoon, I didn't like their beers until I started tasting their specialty beers.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of go all out for the specialty ones. It's really interesting. But, yeah, they're great. And then in Vermont, so Magic Hat, I think they're okay. You have
you tasted Circus Boy?
I have tasted Circus Boy.
I would peg you as a Circus Boy is hoppy enough for, I mean, for a Hefeweizen. It's an extremely hoppy Hefeweizen. Mm-hmm. And so I would peg you as a Circus Boy.
I'd say my favorite.
I think likes you like wheat beer.
I do. I mean, you have to. I do. I like all beers. Never gonna single a beer out.
You're right. You shouldn't wholesale dismiss a beer genre.
Yeah. With Magic Hat, my favorite Magic Hat's probably Roxy Rolls, which is their winter beer, and that's a hoppy amber. And that's good. But in Vermont has all these hidden breweries. They have McNeil's, which only sells within the state, and McNeil's makes phenomenal beer. They have Long Trail, which is pretty good.
Long Trail is a delicious
beer. Yeah, and then up in, and they don't sell their beer anywhere, but I will always mention them. Up in, Waterbury, which is near Stowe, I think that Ben and Jerry's is in Waterbury. Mm-hmm. You have a brew pub called The Alchemist, which makes some of the best beer I've ever had in my life. Oh, look, I'm wearing The Alchemist shirt.
Great.
What a coincidence.
Nice little plug for them. So getting back to the regional question, though, I feel like, maybe not regional, but on a per brewery basis, we have very distinct styles. Right. We're talking about...
I should clarify. What you'll see is, especially in the South, their beers, they can't experiment. So the South tends to have very low alcohol beers because they have these ridiculous laws where, like, I know in Mississippi, if you look at the state of Mississippi and divide, it's almost straight down the middle. Half of it's allowed to have alcohol up to a certain percentage, like 7 or 8, and the other half can't exceed 4%.
Oh, gosh.
Talking beer.
Oh, so that's how you get, like, a lot of commuting style IPAs. Guessing.
Yeah. That's how you get, like, a
Shinerbach or whatever.
Yeah, like the Shiner.
Yeah.
I won't continue about that,
but yeah, Texas style IPAs.
Yeah, they will be lower in alcohol content. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. That's very interesting. Well, shall we continue on to the next beer?
Finish up. Yes. Oh, I guess we should. Should we rate it now, or do you want to wait till the end?
Line them up. Have a point of comparison. I don't know. How do you?
Yeah, that's true. I would like to taste them all, and then at the end, kind of. Bestow our rating upon them. So yeah, we will anoint them as beers drunken by. But what is our podcast? I was about to say our name. What's our title? We can't do Beer and Odyssey anymore because Beer and Odyssey has been taken. So
yeah, I mean I would like to do, and when I say I would like to do, I mean I thought for 3 seconds and this was all I came up with. I like Beer Ventures. It's almost like adventure, but. It's a beer venture.
Beer venture,
and it can also be two words.
Hmm. You could start off a little rider to this business.
Yes, I think Beer Ventures is interesting. We'll play with it a little bit.
We'll discuss and figure it out.
It's easily abbreviatable, so like somebody could be like, "Yeah, did you listen to BV last night?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, that's good.
Two BV. I like that. No, I do like the abbreviation.
Beer Ventures.
Oh, man, there's your BV out this week. Yeah, gotta pick it up.
Exactly.
That's right, listeners. All four of you. Or I think we're up to five now.
Jesus. We have five followers. I'm not listeners. But BV,
well, that's because we haven't put anything up. They will be listeners. They'll be hooked.
BVPC is the Beer Ventures podcast, which I think is great, too.
Oh, that is. All right, got a nice...
this is growing. I mean,
maybe
more
the
more.
Beer Venture Cast?
Ooh, Beer Venture Cast. The BVC.
Yeah.
Which is very good. That's BVC. That's like, yeah. And I like to be associated with them. Yeah, exactly.
Or if you're in France, the BVC. Le BVC. Est-ce que vous avez écouté au BVC?
We don't like French people here.
I don't really don't like their beer.
No, definitely not. We're not here.
Except in the northern region.
I know you're talking about being kind of latitudinarian and drinking any beer, but I don't think we're going to drink French beer on this show.
Brittany makes excellent booze in general, actually.
Brittany Spears does not make booze.
No, Brittany. Le Bretagne.
Which one? Okay.
Maybe we'll get some French beer. I'll check out, because the northern region of France produces some pretty good stuff.
But, I mean, the northern region of France is practically not France anymore.
That's true.
I mean, it's like Northern Virginia.
Having said that, it's still... Exactly. In France.
Okay.
So, all right. So we have founders.
We're mincing words.
And,
I'm gonna pour some into a glass too, just so we can get a look at it.
Okay.
And then
we want to see the clarity.
Makes sense.
Same.
Oh, that's much more. Golden.
It's lighter. No, yeah. It's definitely more golden.
It's still.
So this is
still very
clear. Is the founders Harvest Ale. Founders. again, they're in Michigan. They're big beers.
Oh my gosh.
Their big beers that they're known for are...
we can't speak enough of this place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the founders... I mean, no one's heard of founders. Of course they have.
Yeah, the breakfast stout?
The breakfast stout is their normal stout. Then they come out with the Kentucky breakfast, which I've had, and I actually don't think it's as good as their normal breakfast stout. But it only comes out for, like, 2 weeks every year.
Like we said, southern beers are not as good. Yeah. So, Lotus. I think it just fits with our paradigm. The thing about Founders is they're very diverse, and they have really... It's very local. Here. I don't know many people who've had Founders outside this kind of region. But, sure. I mean, they're just a fabulous brewery. And everything they make is very artistically done, very delicious, and very much of their style. I think that the Breakfast Stout is a pinnacle of a stout. I love that stout. I would want to buy that right now. Cheers. If we were... at a liquor store that carried Founders. So we'll see how this
like Steve's. Steve's, for those of you in Madison, there are about four of them. Steve does. So does Woodman's. Woodman's is Founders, too.
Yeah.
I'm getting heavy hops on this.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
If we're correct about how hops are, you know, taxonomically characterized, I'm not even getting heavy hops.
Right. Well, this is the thing. Because this is a wet hop beer...
once again, hops in the boiling process. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's not wet hopped. Wet hop means the hops that they add. A lot of times the hops have been dried, but they've just been harvested and they put them into the beer immediately.
So they're dank hops, we should say.
They're very dank. So you will notice that this is I mean, the best way to describe the smell to me is it's fresh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll notice the next we have the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale. You'll notice a difference.
I would love to bathe in it with it. On a daily basis, so I think that's how fresh it is. It's springy.
Coming soon, wet hop bubble bath. That's
I love that. please.
Yeah. Also, I gotta say about the color, you know, it's a lot less head. I noticed that.
Substantially right when you pour it, just dissipated.
It's
much more
clear,
sort of. Yeah, there's a little bit of a burnt touch to the to the color, but it's definitely a golden color.
Oh yeah, it's still clear, but I think there's significantly more cloudiness.
It's more
too,
turbidity, really, because
it's probably an unfiltered beer versus the kind of bunk
really?
Color.
Now that I'm looking at white, I see.
Yeah, it's definitely tough to tell because of the glass. Maybe can we use this one? Then?
Yes, go ahead.
This is our Quibby's Grove glass.
We went to a Quibby's Grove beer tasting.
Oh, how's
and,
Quibby's?
Our beer festival, and so
great beer
we
festival.
All got nice beer tasting glasses, and we're gonna pour that in there and check out the turbidity because. These glasses are more opaque.
Actually, that's actually quite clear.
Yeah, there is some cloudiness. If you look at it, there is definitely some cloudiness.
I can't really see Dylan through this glass. I can see kind of an outline.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting my finger pretty clearly when I press it against the glass.
And it looks to me like there's a good amount of carbonation. It's really built on the glass.
You can feel that on the palate, too. It's like there's definitely a little more of that sort of spicy carbonation.
Oh, yeah.
And I got it again. The smell to me is just incredible. I got hops and grapefruit. Grapefruit is such a common smell that you get, and I don't know where it comes from. It's something with the hops or something, but I mean, it just really.
Yeah, you definitely get that grapefruit. Absolutely. More fruity than the last one, and the aromatics are coming off much more. And that could be a little bit from the carbonation, a little more bubbly.
I gotta say, I took a taste. That is bitter. This is an IPA. Very hoppy. Mm-hmm. Really, really hoppy.
Yeah. And not much besides what you said, the grapefruit. It's just hops and grapefruit.
You'll get like the floral. You can get that floral.
If I were tasting a scotch right now, I would be talking about the peat. Like it's you know there's a pretty substantial not necessarily smoky but earthy, you know, it's a very sort of organic kind of taste on the beer.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Can't smell out of the glass.
I know.
Quibbies, how could you?
I know. No, it's the fact that you washed it in the water. These glasses. Yeah.
That's why you should never wash your glass. I mean, people at home, this is an important tip. Never wash your dishes.
Ever.
And IPAs are typically higher, like, relatively high alcohol content.
Yeah, let's see if we can get it on here.
Because, I mean, you can pull it off.
This is 6.5%. Yeah. I'd say that's probably about average for an IPA.
Mm-hmm. But it's certainly higher than American Pale Ale.
Absolutely. And I really wish I knew the Kennebunkport, but they didn't put the ABV on here. Mm. So we won't know that.
I think this is great notes. I mean, there's nothing wrong about this. Like, sometimes you get a little too earthy, and if you stick your nose in there for a while, it almost get a little bit of an outhouse feel. But this is just splendid. You can just stick your nose in this. It's really a bouquet.
The bouquet is really solid. You know, the hoppiness has a strong bitter edge, which you're gonna like. You know, which you're gonna like if you're the type of person who eats, you know, 99% cocoa chocolate. Yeah. Or, you know, if you. Yep. But you know, that's it's definitely for those who like a bitter edge to their to their food and to their drink.
Absolutely. It's 70 IBUs. IBUs in International Bitterness Unit. Mm-hmm. 70s for the normal IPAs. It's high, but it's probably about average. Like, I know that the Green Flash West Coast IPA, I think is around 100. Sierra Nevada's that we have in there is probably higher than this, too. Mm-hmm. But,
what's the 120-minute IPA? Do you know that?
I do not know what it is. All I know is it tastes like alcohol and hops. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really... That, you want to talk about a big beer. We're talking one bottle of that, I believe. You got 21% alcohol and I think 530 calories. One 12-ounce bottle.
That's like breakfast.
Yeah, it is. It's insane. By the way, Chip, I noticed both of you were eating the sausage.
Yes.
What do you think of it? Sausage. How do you think it works with the beer?
It's a little spicier.
It is.
I like it because they're both of them are kind of spicy, right? The hops lends a little bit of spiciness.
Right.
So brats. And brats are naturally like...
Hoppy beers and spicy food, I've always felt, go pretty well together. Mm-hmm. Like an IPA is usually matched with spicy food or very sharp cheese. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the sausage, I think, matches up pretty well with it.
Yeah, you don't want anything contradictory. You want something that will enhance.
Yeah, I think...
Kind of be commensurate with the taste.
No,
that's fine.
Yeah, no, you also need to be eating something that can stand up to this. You know, you need to be eating, you know, I could see eating this with, like, gorgonzola, for example, because you've got a very strong flavor profile that's going to be able to match the, you know, the strong flavor profile on the IPA.
I think we, an IPA is usually, I mean, because I've been to a lot of BYOB places, love IPAs with Indian and Mexican food. Mm. Just think they complement it wonderfully. So,
So I think the chilies in this sausage are
These are our friends at Johnsonville Brats.
Oh my god,
we're gonna turn this into a commercial. Plug.
Brats, your kind of sausage.
These have been cooked in a mixture of beer for 8 hours, and it was the Sam Adams Winter Lager, which
a good beer.
I'm usually not a fan of Sam Adams. Love the Winter Lager, and actually this Lakefront. One thing, you should never, ever be afraid to mix beers. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Wait. You're drinking them, or you're cooking
with
them?
Never be afraid to mix beers when you're drinking. It's one of the top rules of drinking beer. And that's the first rule I ever learned
Let me see your rule book.
I know, that's the first rule I ever learned from my boss, he's kind of still my boss-ish at the Brewing News, Bill Metzger, who's the publisher.
Okay.
First time we went out. You see two beers you think would go well together, mix them. And yeah, I mean, like, this is why probably at the next time we go to the Great Dane, what I will do is I will have them mix a stout and their wheat beer.
Huh. Really?
Yes.
The crop circle?
Yes. Because you're going to get a fruitiness
orangey, though, to go with
that. Yes, it is. But the stout was actually somewhat sweet and chocolatey, yeah. And I just think that would be a wonderful
combination. Which stout are you talking about?
The country sweet stout on Cass last night?
I think it was a little smokier than what... I don't
really?
Know.
Really?
We'll try it out. We'll try it out.
Yeah, we'll have to.
You have to exercise discretion, though, because I feel like people are like, I mean...
I'm sure we're going to end up going out after our... anyway.
But like, I like hot sauce and like ice cream. I won't put them together. There's certain rules that should keep things apart. You have to exercise discretion.
Hot sauce and popcorn, though... It sounds disgusting, and I thought it was disgusting until I put them together.
Sharp cheese and pancakes. We are so off topic. Back to beer.
Oh, you're right.
Back to beer. You're right. Sorry.
Most beer and gourmet
discretion
food.
When mixing
terrific
beers.
Combination.
Mm-hmm. Exercise discretion when mixing beers. I'll say it again. Surgeon General's warning.
So, anyways, I gotta admit, I just love this beer. I think this is wonderful.
Yeah, I have no complaints at all. Bouquet is great. Taste is great. Finish is great. There's nothing that's really... Yeah. I'm like, this is flawed because of this. I can't point out distinct flaws.
My warning would be not for those who don't like hops. I just downed this beer, so, and I'm not a giant hops fan, but I am, you know, I tolerate hops, and mm-hmm.
It's a good caveat.
I certainly tolerated this beer quite sufficiently. Good
caveat. Our last beer,
it's a great beer.
Yeah, I think our last beer will be a nice departure for you because it's not hoppy at all. We've got this is the one we'll be tasting.
Spiced. Oh dear.
Yeah, it's not spicy. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Spiced like. Orange rind.
That was what I was talking about.
Yeah, spiced wine.
No, I'm okay with spicy. I'm eating the sausage. Come on.
Mm. Sorry about that. There might be a weird cut.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties. But I think we're back.
We're back.
Back in action.
So, sorry for ruining the flow. But now we're trying the delicious Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale.
That's a bit of a premature delicious, isn't it? Because I don't think we've tasted it yet.
I might have tasted it.
Apparently, I'm the only one who hasn't tasted it.
Listen, it's technical difficulties. I had to drink it off.
We have noticed already that it's got a very substantial longevity on the head.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, great. Because after the difficulties,
it's still kicking. Yeah,
there is still a head, and we're talking at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's crazy.
We've got a very clear copper color on the body.
Yeah. The head's still almost like a quarter of a thumb. But yeah, great color. What do we say? What's the color? A little more copper.
Copper. Yeah.
And really quite clear. I could almost read through this.
Yeah. I agree. And it's interesting, I guess, because Sierra Nevada generally doesn't fill. And this could still be unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we'd have to look into.
Yeah. It's still low turbidity. We need to talk about Sierra Nevada sustainability, because I love this.
Right.
It's a plug for sustainability. The Earth rules. We were listening to Captain Planet earlier at Will's house.
He's a hero.
He's a hero.
Take pollution down to zero.
Of course.
Tell you.
And beer's up.
He's your powers so magnified.
Sierra Nevada is the heart of Captain Planet. Side. It's delicious. They managed to do great things.
I believe, at least what I thought, and again, it could be wrong, I kind of remember Ken Grossman talking last year that was around 97%. I don't know if that's right. I mean, the number could be off.
What?
Yeah.
Power-wise.
Yeah,
out of their waste, they reuse 97% of it.
Wow. And they recycle their carbon. And they have a fusion. What do they create? This crazy generator. I think they use some sort of. I think they just burn or plasmify like waste to try to.
Oh, as they plasmify.
It's a bio waste.
Yes. Well, I
think biopower.
I think they use biopower. I'm not sure exactly. They have some sort of structure. They use some solar cells, but they also use this, which uses waste to create power. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's some
plasmifies them.
There's one that turns into plasma.
The plasmography.
Shut up.
We just come with a bunch of them.
There's one with these bacteria to create methane, as the British say.
Methane.
Oh dear. Oh muffins. But they also use they turn into plasma and then they extract energy from it. I don't know the process, but I also know that they use the rail system instead of shipping in.
I love
some plasma.
Yeah.
All right,
settle down. Yeah, and again, we were talking about
they use trains. Okay.
Yeah, and I guess the other point.
Can't sexualize that, my friend.
The other thing I guess I was talking about too when I cut out was the Hefeweizen.
Go ahead.
All right. So the Hefeweizen they came out with last year, it's brewed with open air fermentation. Which means instead of like the big vats that they have,
they leave it open.
Yeah, and
it's like a pond.
It's called spontaneous or wild fermenting too.
Yeah, and most of the Belgian breweries in the U.S., Omegang and Cooperstown does that because mm-hmm. they're a Belgian brewery pretty much. But yeah, and it like harnesses
makes
the bacteria.
A sour makes a little
right,
sour.
Right, and that's how you get breaded beer. And that's, I really wish I knew more about Brett, and that's something I'll have to read up on, but it's what happens to the yeast, or something, and that's, and then it's sour, magically.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so anyway,
talk about the taste on this beer.
Right. What about the smell?
I'm not actually getting as many hops on the,
it's a little turned
on the
down.
Nose as
I
was.
I think, well, you know what it is? I think it's a really different smell.
That's true.
It's not,
there's no fruity notes in there.
It's not as fresh.
Wait, hold on. Let me verify that.
I'm actually getting the grape substantial fruit, but I'm getting much more acidic fruit, much less flowery.
Very
fruit.
Citrus.
Yeah,
citrusy.
Absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely.
That's what hops lends it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like, too. I'm just saying, like, beyond what hops gives it, I don't detect any other.
Also, some malt. Got some malt in there, too. A little bit of maltiness.
I'm not getting that level of sugar off the
brown milk. Sugar kind of smell.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, it's just not there.
There's so much subjectivity here. I don't know what to taste.
It's kind of took a sip. This is very bitter.
It's true.
Probably more bitter, I'd say, than the Founders.
Yeah, I would say. Absolutely.
Different taste, though. Again, it's hobby.
It also could be the spicy sausage we're eating.
I'm going to rinse my plug with this water.
Go ahead. Me too.
I don't think it is the sausage. I think it's just coming off as...
Let's not be premature.
No. I've been eating sausage consistently before trying all of these beers, and it's really...
Are you having a banger in the mouth? We call it a sausage in the mouth.
Yes. I'm getting banged
Arrested
in the mouth
Development
right
references.
Now.
Always appreciated. just for our audience who may not know.
Oh, please. If they don't
our
know.
Our wide audience in Bangladesh and Hastings and all those places.
It's important. Blackstool. Mm. Charmed, I'm sure.
oh, great. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, definitely, it's even a pretty solidly bitter nose too.
This is 6.8.
Much less
also.
Flowery.
Yeah. No IBUs on here, but it's 6.8% alcohol. So again,
pretty substantial.
Yeah.
But what about the spiciness? It's a celebration
sausage,
ale,
sir.
It's a celebration ale, so it should be a little spicy, a little Christmassy. Hanukkah-y.
I'm not sure that I could pound these back during.
I'm kind of with Will on this one, but honestly, like I said, Sierra Nevada, they don't care about the traditional holiday beer. For them, it's just like, bam, we're gonna hop the shit out of this beer, and you're going to drink it.
You're
like
celebrate to it.
But do you think this is doesn't necessarily deserve? It deserves more than a celebration ale. Should it be less a seasonal beer and then?
It's still a celebration ale because. Celebration Ale is not a kind of beer. Celebration Ale is a time of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Should it be beyond that?
That
should
rhyme.
I like that. It's a great little limerick. Thank you. Or could have been if you developed it a little more. But no, I'm saying, should it be beyond that? Should it not be just a celebration ale? Should it be something for all occasions? Should it be just an ale that we sell and not call it a celebration ale? What do you think?
But then I would, honestly...
Well, Dylan's heart stops. and
we go...
Dylan goes, oh God, oh dear. Done.
That was cute. Thank you.
Limerick finished. Go ahead.
So honestly, I personally would enjoy seeing Sierra Nevada brew this year round. The cool thing about Sierra Nevada is they have hops for all times of the year. We have in spring they come out with their Southern Hemisphere harvest beer, and then there's the to something else with hops, and then there's my personal favorite.
Let me tell you, it's something else.
Yeah, because every year their anniversary beer usually comes out in the spring, and that's just an IPA that's hoppier than this, if you can believe that.
Nope.
And then they have their Hop Harvest Ale, which comes out every fall, and I buy at least 4 bottles. Cause
so there's actually no barley in that, just pure hops, right? It's just like a hops liquor.
I'm pretty sure there's barley in all beer.
I'm completely joking.
Okay. don't pull that with me.
Sorry.
Sarcasm.
Guys, let's talk about the finish on this beer, eh?
What's it talk about? It's great. It sits longer than the other ones. It
certainly does that. You can definitely... You get a lot of the acidity on the finish. You get a lot of the...
It follows through.
Yeah.
I don't think it attenuates really rapidly. You kind of just... It sits until you stop noticing it. And
absolutely.
It's been too long.
Yeah. Very bitter. Very bitter, too. Bitter aftertaste.
So, with seven minutes left, why don't we head toward our
final?
And actually, I'm gonna steal more of Chip's. I'm gonna steal more of Chip's free Hershey Kisses.
Why do you think chocolate's with IPAs?
Actually,
that makes sense. Chocolate is a bitter chemical.
There are many left. Save this for this final beer. This is not an IPA.
Okay. It's not.
This is Lakefronts, and now we're going to go to the box, because we have the box, and,
what's in the box?
This is the Lakefront box, and it says, Holiday Spice Lager Beer.
Lager.
It's a lager, so it says brewed with honey, oranges, and spices.
Dylan, do you want to expound upon a lager? What? Develop a lager a bit.
Expound. You should do it, Chip. Lagers. Remember how I said I really don't. I love all beers. With lagers, usually kind of iffy on. Although the winter lagers, I really enjoy. The Sam Adams. The Lakefront, which I'm pretty sure, I mean, I bought this.
Capital
I must have
makes
had
a
it
mean,
at some point.
Makes a mean winter lager, actually.
Who?
Capital.
Oh, I haven't had it. Capital, I had their Red Ale, and we'll just say I was not happy with it. Mm. I thought it just tasted like cardboard. Mm-hmm. And
a lager is...
haven't been back.
So it's basically lager's a light, effervescent beer.
I mean, there are differences in the brewing process.
Of course.
Yeah, lagers are, you know, those are German. Lagers are very, very much German beers.
And then adopted and made American.
Yeah.
And crappier.
Oh, yeah, it's like, because, you know, Budweiser says, hey, we can do better than this. No, they don't. They're lying. But yeah, I wish...
No, they need to get more marketable. That's what they can do.
I don't know if the alcohol content is anywhere on here for this one. I'm guessing it's probably lower.
Mm. Lagers are typically not very alcoholic.
No, they're not.
They're very drinkable. They're chuggable.
Which is what it is.
A virtue. Yeah, exactly. It's a virtue in its own right. In certain senses.
Yeah, I'm going to guess this is between 4% and 5%.
But yeah, you're looking at a much more heavily wheat kind of taste.
Some good adjuncts in there.
You're going to see a lot. It's usually darker in color. You won't get...
What? Wait, hold on.
Your Belgian white beers are oftentimes lagers.
A wheat beer? I don't think a whip beer is classified as a lager.
No, I'm thinking about your beers like, God damn it. Blue Moon's a lager, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Am I off my rock?
Chip, why don't you pull out that Beriotic Table t-shirt?
Oh, I do have the Beriotic Table t-shirt.
Which, I know when we developed it, in the brewing news, we separated lagers and ales.
Oh, nice.
So this will be a good chance to prove me wrong, which I'm kind of hoping I am, actually. So,
all right, here we go. Beeriotic Tables. I got a t-shirt when we went to...
Check out the back. Back will have it. There's whip beer. It's an ale.
Boom.
Yes.
Vindicated.
Well, the Pilsners. So the Pilsners are typically cold fermented. And that's, I guess, I don't know about all lagers, but there's a lot. Pilsner is a lager. It's in that family, I guess. And I don't know if all of them are, but they're cold fermented, which means they're fermented around between, I think, what is it, 50 and 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Lends a different taste to the beer, and I can't explain exactly why. But warm fermentation is between 60 and 75 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And that's when it's fermented.
Yeah. Lagers, like I said, with the color again, lagers to me have always been traditionally like more of a brownish color, almost. Like a very clear brownish. We'll find out if I'm wrong here with the Lakefront. But
I guess we're kind of biased because of American beers. American lagers. Let's check this out.
Yeah, you guys want to expound a bit on that color?
It's definitely nutty.
Dark,
it's a nut brown.
It's
a hazel nut kind
of. It's bordering between. It's floating the line between goldish and brown.
Yeah,
it's somewhere in between that.
But there's a solid like sort of I mean, it certainly depends on the light, but there's definitely a solid sort of dark amber taste. It's sort of a maple syrup kind of.
And it describes it pretty well.
Yeah, that's kind of you.
Like a maple syrup bee. I know, because I'm in Vermont,
absolutely.
Right,
yeah,
and B is the heavier, amber. the heavier one.
You're absolutely right.
Grade B.
Grade B can be almost,
but it's grade A,
almost
Jemima,
stout.
Or?
Almost stout.
I really like the grade B, or the, what else is there? B, and then, what's one step up from B?
Oh, man, there's so much citrus on this.
Wow, mess. Yeah, seriously.
It's just like, orange, bam.
Yeah, I mean, but not in the vein of Blue Moon, but... It's
well,
got,
I mean,
I think
in the vein of Blue Moon, you're actually smelling an orange most of the time.
It's like, oh, why is this on my glass?
You can smell the spices with that orange.
Yeah, I mean,
it
this
has,
is,
it's very holiday smelling. I mean, I've,
Like I said, this, because we have such a huge departure now from the IPA,
yeah.
You're getting just a lot more flavor.
Lambasted with spice.
Caramel, but cloves, tons and tons of...
Little clove in there?
Yeah, maybe. It's so orangey, though. It's,
I'm getting nutmeg, so much orange too. You get the nutmeg is very, very common in a lot of winter beers. It's usually pretty easy to pick out.
I'm getting a call. First call.
I would not be surprised.
You've reached the beer block.
I would not be surprised if this were a fairly high alcohol beer. Just moving to the mouthfeel. It is.
What was that?
That was Eric. We have to go soon.
It tastes thick and boozy.
Really? Yeah, it does. I smell the alcohol. I haven't tasted it yet. You can smell the alcohol.
Absolutely.
But I think I might have looked it up and it was low. I mean, thankfully we have a computer here. We can double check.
I can't because I have no internet.
You also have KIGB. What a fine program.
Yeah. What's KIGB?
That Game Boy emulator that you have on your...
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that little guy. It's fun. It's fun. We're playing some Yoshi pinball.
Actually, I got a... Nice. I'm getting like an unusually high alcohol flavor.
It's
really boozy.
It tastes like vodka.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Hey.
I mean, but you get that same sort of, like, really intense...
Grainy alcohol?
Yeah. That's... Wow. I'm getting...
That is very... It's interesting because what's kind of... is when you tasted it, first of all, I get this, like, orangey nutmeg.
Right.
But then immediately it just vanishes. It's like, bam! Boom. Here's alcohol right in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like
it takes off its top, yeah, and then boom, there's alcohol right in your face.
I mean, it's not even
censored.
So ridiculous. Basically what we're saying is that... breasts and alcohol somehow are equivalent to each other.
Whoa, you took it a little far. I'm talking about the beer, man. Where are you going with this? but it does hit you very quickly. It's interesting to have such dynamism in the aftertaste, because you don't expect that. You expect some sort of gradation, but I think that captures it.
And now I submit to you to take the Hershey Kiss, like even just take a bite of it and maybe try to let it melt a little.
It's awesome.
Is it a good combination?
Yeah.
Chocolate and, to me, chocolate and orange, and this is why I want to, or stouts in general, like an orangey flavor, go really well. Time for another plug. There's a brewery, Foothills Brewery, in Winston-Salem, I think North Carolina, wherever Wake Forest is.
Gosh darn it.
They make, I'll continue, whatever.
Dude, I've kind of got to say, though, Chip, the part, I think really it's just that the sugar is... masking the excessive alcohol taste. Okay. I'm not actually getting that much interplay between these two flavors. It's just that it's nice because it's not excessively boozy because there's sugar on the palate.
You know what?
Go over now. Over now.
Dead silence in the room. In the recording
studio.
You're
all listening to Chip on his cell phone.
Yeah, sorry. People are calling. There's stuff after this. Wait, sorry. You were saying it was masking it, and then...
Yeah, I think that the sugar is actually just masking the excessive alcoholness, and, you're more just, like, not getting the... terrible aftertaste on
right.
this beer.
I do think it's kind of nice, though. It's not that bad. But yeah, back to Foothills. So they make a beer called Sexual Chocolate. And
I've heard about
stout.
This.
I've had it. The first years I went to Sabre.
Night at the beer we were at.
Yeah.
At the Cooper's, the tavern we were at.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty good. She said it tasted like chocolate.
Wait, they don't have Foothills at...
They have Sexual Chocolate.
That is no way. Not possible.
All right. Well,
I'm calling you out as a liar right now.
Thank you.
You proved me wrong later.
I'm a liar, apparently.
But
the girl next to me was not.
But yeah, what's cool is, so they've been at Savor the last 2 years, which is the DC Brew Festival. I spent quite a bit of time at their booth getting that beer, and it is just, it's a stout with orange, and it's phenomenal.
Huh.
Yeah. It's chocolate and citrus. Great combination.
Perfect combination, yeah. They make some, I mean, Lynn's, they're famous for their, they have an orange chocolate blend. It's very popular.
Who?
Lindt's chocolate.
Oh,
so
you're talking about chocolate.
No, about chocolate,
like
not
chocolate
beer
chocolate.
Yeah, I'm talking about real chocolate. They do an orange chocolate blend, and it's a very popular, very seasonal. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. No, I don't dislike this beer. But yeah, I think it does have this mask on its booziness for a second.
Yeah.
And then it dissipates.
So
I'm really getting more of. Less of a clear beer here. This is much more of a sort of turbid type beer.
Yeah, this is definitely cloudier. I mean, I'll hold it up. Can you see that?
Yeah, definitely.
The light?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely cloudier. So probably not filtered. I guess, do we want to rank them? We've tasted four beers. I'm happy to go first if you want.
Yeah.
First for me was probably the Founders, the Harvest Ale. I just thought that fresh hop taste was incredible. you don't get that many beers. And then we had I'd probably put the Sierra Nevada next, because I love bitter beers. I wasn't too pleased with the alcohol flavor on this holiday lager, but that also, and you gotta keep in mind, that also could be because it's kind of old.
And you're comparing it to IPAs.
Yeah, it's a few months old. Lagers usually age poorly. It's been in my fridge for a couple months, so that could totally be on me versus on the beer itself. The Kennebunkport is, for me, just definitely easy last. I didn't like it. I thought it had the weird metallic taste. The cardboard aftertaste, which only I taste, because only I eat cardboard.
Yeah. Matzo.
But, yeah, and the fact that they're calling it an IPA is... But the fact they're calling it an IPA is kind of shocking, because it doesn't taste like an IPA.
I would certainly agree that Founders had a really solid nose, and the taste in the mouth was also... you know, extremely pleasant. I'm not a giant hops fan, which is probably affecting my judgment here, but I really enjoyed the way that hops was reflected in the Founders Harvest Ale. My second choice would be the Kennebunkport IPA. I wasn't after a giant a giant hopsgasm like Dylan here was, and so
hopgasm, you know, that's my beer that I brew.
I really enjoyed the way that the hops flavor sat lightly on the palate, and the way that it didn't feel terrifically overwhelming, but there was still the nice sort of floral and almost grapefruity notes that you get from hops. My next choice would be the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale. I thought it was really solid. It just wasn't up my alley, to be honest. And it was a little too bitter for my tastes. And then I have to agree with Dylan on the Holiday Spice Lager beer from Lakefront. It was kind of disappointing. Very sort of strong grain alcohol type taste behind it that just really was not at all pleasant on the finish.
Sorry,
hey, Eric.
I'm back.
Did we finish?
I think you're last, Chip.
Okay.
You're going to be our final.
You know, I wish I could be original, but I really can't. I feel like Founders came in first, very easy first, just because it was delicious. It was an IPA. It tasted like an IPA. It smelled like an IPA. It's fabulous.
White hop ale. It's an IPA.
Yeah, of course. And then for seconds, I think that the Celebration Ale was great. I'm always partial to Sierra Nevada. I had them a while ago. I had a few months ago at a beer tasting. I like it. It's got a great taste, great notes. The Holiday, I like that third. I like the nutmeg taste. A little cloves, a little spiciness. I guess I'm just partial to holiday beers in general. And then finally, this what is it? Kennebunkport?
Kennebunkport.
I think it might be an
exclusive Trader Joe's brand.
Yeah.
But Trader Joe's also is their own brewery in California. They produce way better beer than this.
Everyone's their own brewery now.
Yeah.
So Walmart will have a new brewery soon. I didn't think it had anything particular noteworthy about it. I think it was a weak IPA. The metallic taste, I'll forgive it because I think it's the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So I ranked that fourth. So I think I got the same as Dylan, and I don't know how you ranked him.
Differently.
Okay.
Very differently. I was kind of surprised. I was really surprised by this one.
We all pretty much hated the spice beer.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a strong word. We've got here, we should probably wrap this up.
We're going to wrap this up. thanks. This is listening to...
Back-to-back podcast.
Beer Ventures.
Oh, we're going to go with the Beer Ventures name. I feel very creative
beer
right
venture
now.
Cast.
Don't get too excited. Dylan's
popping
us up. No, I don't know. We're going to call it that tentatively.
Stop.
But, yeah. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.